Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back to part two of the Sunday night program. For those of you who are listening and all of a sudden you weren't hearing, we had a little glitch in the system. It's great to have internet radio, as we've discussed many times. It's a great resource. It helps us to communicate around the world. Our message gets places that a normal radio station, even a Sirius or XM, could not get. The internet has been extremely valuable to us. But we do have glitches, and I'm not really sure what happened. All of a sudden we were on, and then we weren't. And that's live radio for you, folks. That shows you right there that we're live. This is not canned material at all. Wow. We're live, and that happens in TV and in radio sometimes, and, it's unfortunate. But anyways, we're back. Join us again. We're back. We're back on the air, and we're going to finish this segment out, by golly, one way or the other. It may be like a 15 or 18 inning baseball game, if you've ever sat through one of those a number of years ago at the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta Metro, Georgia here. I sat through a 19 or an 18 inning game. It's been a while ago. I don't even remember who they played, to be frank with you. I think it was the Mets. I'm not sure. But it went on and on and on and on forever. So we might have to do that. But we're going to get this program done with, by golly. We're going to pick up where we left off before we had that little glitch in the system. And there might have been a storm in the area. There could be. I don't see anything on the weather radar. Here in the studio, we have access to some of the latest electronics and techniques and equipment and so forth, and I've got the radar up for our area as well as the nation, and I don't see any storms right here. But in any event, getting back to the news of the week, in Beaufort, South Carolina, police officer Otho Hatchett was recognized this week as the school resource officer of the year for the Lowcountry region. The State of South Carolina Law Enforcement Association of School Resource Officers, during their conference, recognized him. They say that he has provided many services for his high school and that he is a fine officer, 7-year veteran of the Beaufort Police Department, originally from the Dominican Republic, and he has been serving the police department there. Prior to coming to South Carolina, he was also an officer in the state of Ohio. So congratulations to Police Officer Hatchett. Also, in Alexandria, Virginia, several people have been arrested after they committed a bank robbery. They're being investigated for several bank robberies in the Alexandria, Virginia area. Police say Jason Jackson and Rania Boyd, 24 and 36 respectively, have also been charged with leaving their 3-year-old child, the 3-year-old girl, in a rundown hotel room while they committed their armed robbery. Police discovered the pair at the Red River Inn. They're charged with a number of offenses. Jackson also faces 3 counts of attempted first-degree murder of a police officer, aggravated flight from an officer, and aggravated obstruction of a highway, after he led police on a high-speed chase following the bank robbery this past week. The FBI is also involved. In Memphis, Tennessee, a man has been arrested after a fight at the food court of a Memphis mall. Police say that security personnel at the Wolf Chase Mall were notified of a disturbance in the food court. 30-year-old Edwin Alston was arguing and attempting to fight with 2 women. Security officers arrived on the scene, advised him to leave the mall. He did not. He was quickly taken into custody and charged with assault and disorderly conduct. Huntsville, Alabama, which is home to a number of space, center, and other related companies, and the Redstone Arsenal, a very large military installation. Now the mayor there wants to open up a National Center for Cybersecurity Research, Development, Testing, and Engineering. His proposition is to put this on the sprawling Redstone complex, and that is underway, and it could become a reality soon. It would involve cyber warfare and security efforts, according to a press release. In Antioch, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, the police chief there is under investigation. They say Chief James Forrester assaulted a Democratic candidate for the House District 61 seat. The assault happened against Scott Pollock, who is running for office, during a meeting. The police chief is being investigated and could face criminal charges of assault and may be suspended. In Charlotte, North Carolina, on Friday, police there have charged a man with 30 felony counts after he fired 90 shots at police. Police were called Thursday at a residence on Summerdale Lane. They were met with heavy gunfire from an automatic weapon, as well as a 12-gauge shotgun, for more than 40 minutes. 17 police officers were involved in an ongoing firefight with a suspect who surrendered after being shot in the hip. He's facing 10 counts of attempted murder of a police officer, 10 counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill on a police officer, and 10 counts of assault with a deadly weapon on police officers. In the metro Atlanta area, a not-so-smart, stupid criminal, straight from the TV show Stupid Criminal, was arrested at the courthouse after the man entered the Fulton County Courthouse with 19 small plastic baggies of marijuana in his pocket. Ricky Heflin, 26, tried to go through the security screening point. When they asked him to dump his pockets, he said, "I don't have nothing." Before walking through the security scanner, they again asked him, nervous and looking around. He refused to comply with their request. Deputies and security personnel checked his pants pockets and found the marijuana. He's been charged with a felony count of possession with intent to distribute. He also has several arrest warrants out for him. An off-duty security officer has been killed. Police in Calumet City, Illinois, said a security officer and a female friend were sitting in a vehicle Thursday night. He was off-duty. Several people approached him, tried to rob him. He was shot, and he later died at the hospital. He's been identified as 25-year-old Justin Stanton of the Chicago area. Justin Stanton pronounced dead after being shot while off duty during a robbery attempt. In Washington, D.C., police there are investigating, along with the Transit Authority police, a brawl that happened on the D.C. Metro train. More than 70 people were caught up in this. 5 people have been arrested. A number of people have been injured. Police believe that it may have been gang related. In Lakeland, Florida, near the Tampa, Florida area, an armed security officer for a medical clinic has been arrested. Police charged him with interfering with a traffic stop. According to police, the security officer circled the officer several times in his vehicle while a traffic stop was being conducted by law enforcement. The security officer was eventually pulled over. He was found to be wearing a firearm, ammunition, and mace. He also had an illegal set of brass knuckles in his pockets, a scanner in his pockets. A 25-year-old security guard has been arrested and charged with interfering with an officer, resisting an officer, violating firearm registration law, and carrying a concealed weapon. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, campground security officers had a very busy week. They say that security personnel and Horry County Police were involved in a fracas at a Myrtle Beach campground where security officers scuffled with several people involved in a fight. They took several people in custody after one was tasered. At another Surfside Beach location at a campground there, a 22-year-old man was arrested after they found him loitering around the campground. Police found that he was also wanted for burglary in North Carolina. A Miami security guard has been arrested for murder. Police say that Shannon Duval Pierce shot a man in the head while sitting in his blue pickup truck at the Lafayette Apartments. He's been charged with first-degree murder on Friday morning in the Little Haiti section of Miami. According to law enforcement, Pierce fled the area after the shooting, but was located soon. Police are not saying if the security guard was on duty or off duty at the time of the shooting. Metro police officer has been charged with sex crimes in Nashville, Tennessee. Police charged Officer Jeffrey Poole, 39, with 4 counts of rape, 4 counts of official misconduct, 2 counts of sexual battery, 1 count of patronizing prostitution, and 1 count of attempting to patronize prostitution. Metro Police Nashville say they were investigating the officer after several women complained that while the officer was on duty, he was propositioning the females. He also made several threats while on duty in uniform and armed. At least 4 people have come forward saying the officer used his authority for sexual favors. He's been arrested. He's being held on $200,000 bond. In Atlanta, Georgia, here in the Alpharetta section, just north of the city, a wild police chase Friday closed down a major interstate. Georgia 400 was closed down during the rush hour after a shoplifting incident at the North Point Mall. That's in Alpharetta. According to Alpharetta police, a number of suspects were responsible for grabbing a large quantity of merchandise from Dillard's and JCPenney and then fled. A police chase ensued with mall security following. Eventually, police from several agencies joined in. They were able to stop the suspects at gunpoint. Police arrested Elliot Alexander, 37, of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Jeffrey Green, 46, of Stockbridge, Georgia, Celeste Durrett, 42, of Atlanta, and charged them with a number of felonies, including possession of a stolen handgun, possession of a gun during the commission of a crime, possession of crack cocaine with intent to distribute, possession of a firearm by convicted felons, and felony robbery. Several others are wanted in this as well. In Danbury, Connecticut, a loss prevention agent for Bob's Stores was assaulted while trying to make an apprehension for shoplifting. Victor Anthony Rodriguez assaulted a loss prevention agent. He's been charged with assault. Other loss prevention agent, Bridget Peace, larceny and robbery. He's being held on $5,000 bond. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Walden Security Agency, a regional security company in this area, awarded a number of college scholarships to eligible children of Walden Security employees over a couple of day period. Recipients of the Walden Security Employee Family Scholarships were chosen based on their grades, extracurricular activities, and financial need. And the number and names are listed in the news article on our blog. Also in the news this week, a school resource officer in Medina, Ohio, identified as Sharon Settner, has been awarded the SRO award for her state. The Ohio School Resource Officer of the Year Award was given to her this past week at the School Resource Conference there in Ohio. In Napa, California, a man has received 25 years to life in the stabbing death of a private security officer who offered to give the man a ride home. According to prosecutors, Hernandez Mendez was stabbed 58-year-old Manuel Reyes, a security officer at the Veterans Home in California, Yountville, California, in August 2003. DNA provided at the scene led police eventually to Hernandez Mendoza, and after a long, drawn-out process, he's been found guilty. The 31-year-old Mendoza has been sentenced 26 years to life in prison. A security officer in Seattle, Washington, notified police that they observed a commercial burglary in progress in the 800 block of Rainier Avenue South. Security said they spotted a man moving around inside a closed business. When officers arrived on scene, they also saw a man inside. They sent in the police dog, and the suspect was taken down and is in jail tonight. Also in the news, a Provo police officer has been arrested, charged with sexual assault of a drunk driver while on duty. Provo police officer is being charged with sexually assaulting the woman during a traffic accident. Officer Jeffrey Westerman, 33, was arrested and booked into the county jail. He's being held on a $10,000 bond. According to police, a 29-year-old woman who failed a field sobriety test told police that he threatened to arrest her if she did not perform sexual favors. The woman reported the incident the next day. In Tavares, Florida, a woman there is suing police over a wet T-shirt arrest. The woman was playing with her child at a local park, in a splash park in Tavares. According to the woman's attorney, her T-shirt got wet and her bra was visible. Police in the area spotted this, questioned the woman, asked for identification. She wanted to know why, explained the situation, what happened, why the T-shirt got wet. The officer arrested her for causing a disturbance, resisting arrest, and now she and her attorney is suing the police. Washington, D.C., Martin Freeman, a longtime Washington, D.C. Metro police officer who is now a private citizen once again, says that police in D.C. have the fix on private security. According to the one-time police officer, D.C. police have got the ins on all the private security top paying private security jobs in the metropolitan area. According to the one-time police officer, they have many store owners paying police three times as much as what private security would normally get. The now owner of a security company says it's almost a type of extortion. Local private security officers have no way into many of the jobs because the police have such a stronghold on this. In the Atlanta, Georgia metro area, two city employees have been arrested for felony theft. According to law enforcement officers, the arrest was made. Quintard Eisler, 34, and Yolanda Singleton worked at the Metro Water Department. They made adjustments to customers' water bills in exchange for cash under the table from those customers. They've been charged with felony theft and embezzlement. They're being held on a $25,000 bond. An armed drug dealer attacked a security officer in Washington, Seattle, Washington. Police say that the security officer spotted a man trespassing. 38-year-old was at the Post Alley located on Stewart Street. Security officer spotted a drug deal in progress. When they approached the suspect, he struck the security officer in the face and about his body with a cane. An off-duty police officer heard the commotion and responded, assisting the security officer and finally making the arrest after subduing the man. He also had a .45 caliber handgun in his backpack, but had not pulled it out. Boston, Massachusetts, police there shot a pit bull after he attacked a security officer. Police there say that the pit bull attacked a 68-year-old woman and then a security guard. When the security guard went to the aid of the woman, Responding police officers were also attacked and shot the pit bull on Technology Drive at around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday. St. Paul, Minnesota, a bank robber there shot at a security officer. Law enforcement officers say that the bank robbery happened at the Park Midway Bank in St. Paul. An off-duty St. Paul police officer working as a bank security guard chased the suspect, and he opened fire on the security officer. The officer was not injured and did not return fire. The suspect is still at large. In New York City, New York, Frankie Babilonia, 23 years old, security officer at the Yankee Stadium, retrieved A-Rod's 600th home run ball and never gave a second thought as to what he would do with it. The young man turned the ball over to his supervisor to be given to A-Rod. He later on was notified that he would have dinner with the baseball star and his wife, Cameron Diaz, and several other gifts would be coming his way as well. Sadly, in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, the police chief there committed suicide this week. They ruled that the police chief shot himself in the head. 42-year-old Scott Robbins died of one gunshot to the head. Also, in Miami, another Miami security guard has been charged with murder. 38-year-old man was killed by security guard Yankier Crespo, 28, during an altercation. Police are investigating what happened. He was on duty at the time of the shooting, and this is under investigation. In Detroit, a man there faces the death penalty after being convicted of murdering a security officer during an armored car robbery. According to authorities, Timothy O'Reilly, 37, was found guilty on three counts, including murder, robbery. He killed Total Armed Services guard Norman Stevens, 31, during the robbery in 2001. Now, he could face the death penalty. The first time this has happened in the state of Michigan for a number of years. In North Escambia County, Florida, which is the Pensacola area, a security officer working at the Solution Park was jumped and knocked unconscious. A 27-year-old security officer, female security officer, employed by a Securitas, was making her rounds when a man came out of the bathroom stall and attacked the female security officer, punching her numerous times until she was unconscious. She suffered numerous injuries. The suspect is still at large. You may have seen this story on the national news. In Seattle, Washington, a Seattle parking enforcement officer ticketed a dead man. Police say that the parking enforcement officer observed someone in the vehicle, but thought nothing of it and just wrote the ticket for parking in a two-hour parking zone and went along her way. A call later on by a passing pedestrian of a man possibly ill found that the driver, Derek Michael Eldridge, 36, was dead. He had been dead at the time that the woman, parking enforcement agent, issued the ticket. New York City authorities say that Rudy Giuliani, his daughter, has been arrested and charged with shoplifting. Carolyn Giuliani, 20 years old, a Harvard University student, has been charged with shoplifting after a theft from a boutique in New York City. A Johns Hopkins University engineer professor was charged with assault on security in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Police there say that Noah Cohen, 38, was charged with assaulting a person over the age of 60 after he assaulted a female security officer who was trying to break up loud disturbance. Police say that the professor was intoxicated and resisted arrest. That wraps up the news for tonight, and I know you're clapping. I know that you are, but the news is a very important part of what we do. Very quickly, want to remind you again, of course, about the Private Officer Memorial Week. That's September 19th through the 25th. It's very important that you get involved. Make sure that you let people know about it. You can also email us. We will send you a packet, a letter that you can send to your local government to have a proclamation issued, and it will be greatly appreciated. We ask that you wear a black band over your badge if you are a uniformed officer. For more information, go to the website, privateofficer.com. Happy birthdays this week. Go to Tammy Weston, 43. She's a loss prevention agent in Georgia. She doesn't want us to tell you where. George Butler in Charlotte, North Carolina is 55 years young today. Kevin Myers in Orange Beach, Alabama is 31. Stephen Knight, 30. He's in Portland, Oregon. And Billy, no last name, is 60. No location. Happy birthday to all of you. We want to recognize Mike Goodwin. No. Correction, I apologize. Mike Godwin of Okaloosa, Florida, he's been promoted to a lieutenant. Shirley Tabor has been promoted to an asset protection manager at Walmart. Mike Fields has been promoted to a security supervisor in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And, of course, we also recognized Police Officer Otho Hatchett, School Resource Officer of the Year in Beaufort, South Carolina. Sharon Katner, also we recognize her for her award in Medina, and all of the security and law enforcement who do their job every day. Congratulations to all of you. You are the ones who make a difference out there. You're on the front line, and you are greatly appreciated, whether you know it or not. In the mailbag, very quickly this week, we want to mention that Paul from Portland has written in. He really loves the organization, and he is happy to know about Private Officer. Dave wrote in. He said that we have class, and he has ordered many things from us, and thank you, Dave. Also, Dick Stallsworth wrote in. Thank you for all that you do, the great work that's going on. Maggie has written in. She really appreciated the training and that she got online, and there's been many other great emails that we just don't have time to share tonight. But thank you, everyone, for writing. We really, really, really appreciate it. Did I say that enough? Really, really, really do. We really do. We appreciate all of the emails that we get every week. If you have not written, if you want to suggest something, if you want to comment, tell us how we're doing, good or bad, good or bad. You can send us an email to radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. And trust me, we read every email that comes in. And really, you know, someone's always monitoring the email almost 24/7. We do have to sleep about 20 minutes or so, but somebody's always monitoring it. So it's a very cool way for you to contact us. Also, want to remind you, we haven't mentioned this in a couple of weeks now, but we are in the midst of putting together a Security in Motion book. This is a compilation of security officers' stories in their own words, in the first person. You can be an instant author by writing 200-plus words of any incident you've been involved in, any arrest or apprehension that you've made, any, you know, anything that's exciting or stupid or silly, We've had a number of people write in about funny things, how they tripped and fell and what happened. And, you know, one person wrote in about a burglary he thought was in progress when it really was the wind. It may sound stupid, but it's you know, it happens to all of us. It happens to law enforcement. I can tell you some law enforcement stories that you wouldn't believe, but, you know, it's funny. So if you have something funny or serious that you want to write about, 200-plus words, send it to us quickly at adminassist@privateofficer.com. You will become an instant publisher. The books will be available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, several other bookstores, as well as on the web. All proceeds are going to the Benevolent Memorial Fund for Private Officer, and this will be, you'll get some copies of the book. This will be a great thing that you'll be able to tell people, hey, I've got published, I'm a published author. And, you know, it's very cool. It's a way for you to donate money to the Memorial Fund without actually donating. However, with that said, if you have a little extra jingle, $5, $10, $20, $30, whatever, and you want to donate it to the Memorial Fund, you can do that 24/7, 7 days a week, at privateofficer.com. Click on the Memorial Fund page, and you can donate on the Memorial page right there. You can also become a sponsor or a monthly donor. We have some people who want to donate $10 a month, $25 a month. You can do that as well right there at privateofficer.com. It's very important that we support each other. It gets me very frustrated when people don't help security officers or don't respond when we tell you of a need, of an incident, of a situation, and you pass it by. You, like, you know, goes in one ear and out the other. That's very frustrating for us when we're trying to bring everybody together and you want to be part of, you know, the profession, and you have an opportunity to really make a difference and you don't get involved. That's very frustrating. So this is a very cool and unique way to do it. And it's not going to cost you anything, nothing, zero, zip. Send it to us, 200-plus words, adminassist@privateofficer.com. We're going to move quickly into our next segment, which is our training segment. Tonight we're talking about policy or law, policy or law. Answer these questions and you can win a prize. What is an ordinance? What's the difference between an ordinance and a statute? When two people or one person is shooting video or taking pictures at a mall or an office, when do they break the law? At what point do they break the law? Anybody know that so far? No takers, huh? What would you do? What would you do if you had two people at the mall taking pictures and it might be against company policy? What would you do? How would you respond? Food for thought. If you know the answers to any of those questions or all of them, if you know the answers to all of them, you'll definitely win a prize. Send us the answer to radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com. Let's see. Yolanda has emailed us an answer. Let me see if she's right. Well, no, she's got part of it right, but no, not really. Okay, so if you know the answer, email us at radio@privateofficer.com, and let's see what you got. Tonight, we're going to be talking about policy or law. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? What is the difference? Okay. You've thought about it now. What's the difference? What say you? Okay, we've given you all of the time, to think about it. Now you, okay, Scott's got an answer. Let me see if Scott is right. Yes, he knows what an ordinance is. No, on when does a crime occur? Okay, still got time. This is an interactive part of this radio program tonight. Answer those questions and win the prize. We're going to begin our training here right now.
You are about to become a witness.
Crime caught on tape. From teenage vandalism to thieves who stop at nothing to get the goods, criminals are getting caught in the act on video. Sometimes the tape forces authorities to pay attention.
I'm going to get this footage, and then hopefully something will come of it.
Sometimes it reveals how criminals work.
They can be in and out of a store in a matter of minutes and have, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in cash.
We'll show you how videotape helps fight crime, catch criminals, and get them convicted.
Keep on your way. Put it in the bag. Put it in the bag.
Captured on camera. Crime caught on tape. With video cameras in police cruisers, news helicopters, and in the hands of at least one person in every crowd, there's a greater chance than ever that if a crime is committed, somehow it will be caught on tape. It's changing the way police hunt criminals and how the legal system prosecutes them. And it's turning average citizens into crime stoppers. There are even times when this video explosion results in everything from the crime to the chase to the violent conclusion all play out for the world to see.
That's right. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that really in the last few months have really become more and more prevalent on news stories in the news and in the law enforcement circles. We're going to be talking about YouTube. Hey, who doesn't love YouTube? Jeez, take a look at it. But not now. We're going to be talking about how to handle different situations. Tonight, we're talking about policy or law. Policy or law. Videographers, photographers, skateboarders, trespassers. How do we deal with them? Are they breaking the law? Many, many people in the recent months have been arrested for taking pictures or video at certain locations. And I'm not talking about military, governmental institutions, or top secret locations. I'm talking about the average shopping mall, the average public open to the public area. So when is it policy or when is it law? Glenn has just emailed. We're going to address this very quickly and then we're going to move on. He says, yes, yes, and no. Glenn, you're about 70% right. Thanks for the email. If you go to YouTube right now, after the show that is, you'll see many postings of security guard incidents where security guards have been involved in skateboarders on private property. They're zipping around. They're having fun. They're climbing up and down stairs and different high points on the property and walls, and they're just having fun. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? There's a lot of videos out there on YouTube and other places of security officers tussling with people with cameras and video camcorders, cell phones, smartphones. What's wrong with taking a picture of a store at the mall? What's wrong with taking a picture of some location where you have public access? I'm not talking about jumping the fence into a property. I'm not talking about entering a no trespassing location. I'm not talking about somebody who broke in to take nude pictures or pictures that would be lewd or anything of the sort. Today, tonight, right now, we're talking about public access areas such as a shopping mall, a park, an amusement center, an entertainment zone, a concert hall. What's wrong with taking a picture? What's wrong with getting your camcorder out? Everybody's got one these days. Everybody's got a camera. My smartphone, BlackBerry, has video and camera, digital camera and digital quality video. Excellent video. The only thing I can't do is zoom way in. It does have zoom, but, you know, I wish it was a little bit further that I could zoom. But smartphones are everywhere. Everybody's got a camera on their phone these days. You got to be careful, too, how you get involved in situations where people are armed with a camera, where they're armed with a cell phone, where they're armed with a camcorder, because you're going to get in the middle of something that could result in your arrest or lawsuit, and the evidence, the documentation will be right there on their camera, right there on their cell phone. Okay, so what do we do? How do we handle it? When is it a policy violation or a law violation? First of all, folks, the first thing that has to happen is you have to know your scope of authority. What does your employee or client want done about specific things? Do they allow cameras onto the property? Recently, I was at a museum location. It did not allow cameras. A museum, of all places, did not allow cameras. I was at a concert a while back. It did not allow any cameras that had a long lens and no camcorders. Why? Why? Well, they didn't want pictures taken and then sold or exchanged. You see, years ago, you could go to a concert, you could get right up to the stage, take pictures of your favorite act, your favorite musician, your favorite singer, your favorite actor, and then post it, sell it, trade it, no problem. Now it's considered a copyright violation. Now it's considered against the law. So you have to know the scope of your authority. Does your employer limit access to the property with people who have cameras or camcorders or anything that could take a digital format picture or video? How does your employer or client want it handled? Do they want the person trespassed off the property, escorted to the door, kicked in the butt? Do they want them to be, you know, what do they want? Do they want them to be ignored? Do they want just certain pictures taken? You have to know what your boss, your employer, your client wants. It's not what you want, because what you want, frankly, doesn't care, doesn't matter. It's what they want. They are in charge. They are the boss, not you. And so you have to understand what it is that you're supposed to do when you find the situation. You have to know the scope of your authority. What is the scope of your authority? The scope of your authority, as we teach in the Certified Asset Protection Professional module and certification course, the scope of authority is what your employee will allow you to do. Two things. Can you answer the second thing? Number two, what the limit of the law allows, what the law of the land allows for you to do. What might be lawful for you to do in Texas is not lawful for you to do in Connecticut. What your employer wants you to do may not be lawful in Florida. You have to know the scope of your authority, what your employer will allow you to do, and what the law will allow you to do. And if they jive, then great. You can handle it that way. But if they don't jive, if they don't parallel each other, if they don't mirror each other, then you have a problem. So, okay, now we've got people on the property taking pictures or videos at the mall. The mall management office does not want pictures taken. Since 9/11, many property owners are security conscious. They don't want people scoping out the mall and coming back and blowing it up. They don't want people taking pictures of the shopping center, of the entertainment venue, of the movie house, and coming back and setting up a bomb. Recently, in Northern Virginia, several people did just that. They were arrested for videotaping a shopping mall, and they believe that they were going to come back and do harm later on. There was an incident several years ago in, I believe, Ohio or Michigan. Same thing, shopping mall. They came in and videotaped the mall. They found out where all the exits were. They found out what type of security they had. They found out if police was in place. They videotaped it, mapped it out, and came back and planted a bomb. You got to understand, folks, the security concerns today is much, much different than it was in 9/11, before 9/11. So, if you have people at the mall taking pictures or using video, what can you do? What can you do? Have they broken the law? That's the question tonight. Have they broken the law? Let's say that your employer wants you to approach and handle the situation when somebody has a camera, when somebody's got a camcorder, or even their smartphone out and they're taking pictures. They want you to handle it. What are you going to do? Can you arrest them? Can you put the cuffs on, slap them, haul them off to jail? No, you cannot. My boss says that they're breaking, you know, the law. No, they're not breaking the law. At what point are they breaking the law? Well, my boss says they're breaking the law, by taking the pictures. Is this a fact? No, it's not a fact. You have to understand the difference between policy and regulation and the law. Just like when you're working at an apartment complex, what the policy and the regulations and the rules of the apartment complex might be may not be the law of the land. It may not be a violation of ordinance or statute. Okay, so when someone's taking a picture or video, it is a violation of the property policy. But it's only a violation when they are notified. It is important to have signage available throughout the property. No cameras allowed. No videotaping. Because that is their warning. Under the law, that is called notification. They're being given proper and ample notification. If at that point they're caught, now you can arrest them? No. That's not a criminal offense. But you can escort them off the property. So at what point has a law been broken? Can anybody answer that question? The law has been broken when they have been asked to leave the property and they don't. At that point, you have criminal trespass. Taking pictures or video of the property is not against the law. As long as it is not sexual in nature, as long as it does not violate any lewd conduct statutes, as long as they are not upskirting, which means placing the camera or video recorder up under a person's, a female's skirt, as long as they are not hiding in the bathroom stall trying to take pictures of you peeing, it is not against the law to take pictures or video in an open, lawful location or manner. However, it becomes a violation of statute if they fail to leave the premises once they're notified to do so. If you tell them to leave and they don't, now it's criminal trespass. So that is when the law is broken, at that point, not during the act of taking pictures or a video. So you have to remember that. Now, recently, a number of videos have surfaced on YouTube, and you can research this later on, security officers taking away cameras, grabbing cameras and camcorders, and even one recently, a security officer in Miami at the Miami Transit grabbing a news reporter's camcorder while he was shooting a documentary. On YouTube, there are a number of videos of security officers confronting skateboarders and grabbing their skateboards. Let me tell you, hear this loud and clear. You will be arrested. You will be the one placed in cuffs. You will be the one fired. You will be the person in trouble if you do this. Do not, repeat, do not attempt to grab the person's camera, camcorder, or cell phone from them if they cease to comply with your request. If you do, you will face assault and battery, and possible theft charges. You have no authority, no jurisdiction, no backing to try to refrain, restrain, or otherwise manipulate the person into submissive stages of handing over the camera. If they are holding onto the camera, if they are filming, if they are still taking pictures, you cannot grab that item from them. It is an assault, and you will be arrested. Recently, a college security officer has been arrested and fired for doing just that. A Baltimore police officer fired for doing just that, grabbing a child's skateboard away from him, creating a scene. An Ohio state trooper arrested and fired for grabbing a person's camera who's taking pictures of him. A state trooper in Maryland is currently under investigation. A mall security officer arrested and fired for taking a person's cell phone who was videotaping a confrontation between mall security and a shoplifter. You cannot grab the camera, the cell phone, or the camcorder from the suspect from the person. If they refuse to comply, make sure police are called, keep them under surveillance, and then they can be arrested and charged with what? With trespassing. Trespassing, because they failed to comply with your order to leave the property. Same thing for skateboarders. You know, remember that these are teenagers. These are kids. It could be your child out for having a little fun. It could be your niece, your nephew. It could be your cousin. It could be your neighbor. It could be the child that you go to church with. Yes, this is a little different scenario than people at the mall or out in the office taking pictures or, you know, video, because the skateboarders generally are already breaking the law. They're already trespassing most of the time. When you're working at a shopping center, a mall, an apartment complex, an office complex, or someplace that may have signs already posted that says no skateboarding allowed, do you know why property owners don't want kids to skateboard? It's not because they are mean. It's not because they don't want kids to have fun. No. It has something to do very much with the last three-part training that we did. It's called liability. It's called negligence. You can't allow skateboarders to be playing on the property, especially rolling up and down stairways and walls and handrails, because if they get injured, the property can be sued because they allowed them on the property. They had no reason to be on the property other than to skateboard. And if you allow them to be on the property and they get hurt, you're culpable, responsible for that injury. So here's another great example of culpability. If they are in the shopping center and they have no reason in the world to be there, you ask them nicely, hey, y'all, you can't skateboard here. I'm sorry. Please take it elsewhere. If they continue, if they ignore you, if they cuss at you, if they laugh at you, if they say, oh, yeah, whatever, if they blow you off, you don't beat on them. You don't attack them. You don't grab for their skateboard and twirl them around and show them how big and bad you are and try and handcuff them. No. You have got to be sensible. We've talked about this time and time and time again. You have to understand the law. We're talking about a very small, minute statute or ordinance in your state, your city, your town, trespassing. And if they're underage and you touch them, you manhandle them, you twirl them around to show them how big and bad you are, guess what, pal? Guess what, buddy? I'll be reading your name on my news blog next, because you'll be the one in jail. You'll be charged with child abuse, assault. Yeah, that's right. This is a minor crime of trespass. Call the police. Keep them under observation. This is one of those situations where you observe and report. Now it's totally different. If they're breaking into the building, breaking into cars, now you got felony burglary. I am so tired, I guess, of trying to explain the same thing to people who don't want to learn, don't care. Learn your state statutes. Learn your ordinance. What is an ordinance? Tony wrote in a few moments ago. He was correct. Or she, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tony. Tony was correct. Tony said that an ordinance is a law written by a town, village, or city that is only a law within the confines of their jurisdiction. Correct. There may be a curfew ordinance. If you are under the age of 16, you must be in your house by 10 p.m. It's not a state statute. It's not a federal offense. It's an ordinance. Tony, you're correct. Good job. An ordinance means it's local. It's being enforced locally. Most of the time, those charges are handled by a local municipal court, not the circuit court, not the state court, not the federal court, locally. So that's what the ordinance is. It's a local law that has to do with something there in your town. Another example of the ordinance would be keeping the dog on a leash or picking up the dog poop. You might have to pick up the dog poo because there's an ordinance. It may not be a state law. It may not be a federal law, but it is a law that deals with your particular jurisdiction, your town. So, if the children, the teenagers, are at the school, at the campus, at the office complex, at the mall, at the shopping center, at wherever, and they're doing what kids do, they're being daredevils, up and down stairwells, up and down handrails with their skateboards, jumping and riding and trying to have a good time, okay? Yes, you have to do something about it because if they're hurt, the property can be sued. But it's the way that you approach things, the way that you handle things, separates you from the professional, separates you from the person who is educated and trained. The videos that you can go to on YouTube will show you how not to do it, how not to handle it. In one case, a young teenager was knocked off the wall by a police officer. The teenager had a skateboard and was skateboarding on a wall. He was told to come down. He continued rolling along. Well, you can't just, you know, step down off the wall. At that point, you're on a skateboard. It's pretty dangerous. So the police officer went over and grabbed him and threw him into some bushes. Needless to say, she don't have a job anymore. That's assault. You have to be careful what you do because, like I said, people have cameras, they have cell phones, they have video at their fingertips. You can easily be entwined into the next YouTube video, the next police investigation, the next arrest, and the next lawsuit. So do your job and do it smartly. That's what we preach at Private Officer International. That's what I teach any place I go, every chance I get. Do your job. Know when to be the mean guy. Get your hands up. Don't move. Know when to be a gentle bear, a gentle. Tell them what to do. Tell them what you want. And explain to them, if you have to, why. I have always tried to explain why certain things have to be that way. I know that you're not doing anything bad. I know you're not harming the property. I know you're not breaking into anything. I know that you're just out having a little fun. And I don't want to spoil your fun. There is a skateboard park or a skate park in town, and that's where you need to go. You need to go downtown, wherever that is, because they're prepared. They have the right equipment, the right ramps. Here, this is all concrete, Johnny. This is all concrete, and it's very dangerous. There's some broken glass over here. You could get cut, and, you know, it's very dangerous, and the owner just does not want to see you hurt. And also, we just cannot be here to supervise you, and so because of the law, we just can't allow you to be here. I try to approach things based on what the event, the incident, the situation is, how serious or how minor it is. If it's a serious offense, I'm all guns a-blazing, baby. But if it's something minor, if it's just a technicality, if it's just a policy, a regulation violation, I'm going to approach it much softer. I'm going to give people an opportunity to comply willingly. And if they don't, then we'll take the necessary steps to put them into compliance, to bring them in under submission if possible, if necessary, or go to jail. But you have to approach people and treat them nicely, gentle. Not everybody's a convict. Not everybody's a criminal. This is not a major crime, even if it is trespassing, even if they are taking pictures at the mall. Remember, this is your sister, your mother, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your child, your church-going neighbor. This is who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with somebody who's just escaped prison. Be reasonable. Be tolerant. Be understanding. Many security officers think that everything's a fight. Everything is going to be full guns a-blazing. Everything's going to be, you know, they're gung-ho. You're going to do this or else. Wrong. Security personnel and even some law enforcement just don't understand how to approach situations. The way that you approach people is going to get a response one way or the other. If you approach them nicely, you're probably going to get a halfway decent response. I know personally, if you approach me and you want to ask me not to do something or ask me to move or whatever it might be, it's all the tone of voice, it's all the way you handle it, and the way that I'm going to respond to you. If you come to me nasty, if you come to me all-knowing, all-powerful, all-authority, guess what? I'm not going to take that too kindly, and neither do most people. Security officers, police officers, give respect, and you get respect, even from a juvenile. You'd be surprised how many teenagers will listen to you if you'll take the time to explain why it is they can't skateboard at that shopping center, at that office complex, at the mall. You'd be surprised how people would respond if you go up and say, I'm sorry, ma'am. I know that you're just taking a picture of that water fountain here at the mall, but unfortunately because of 9/11, you know, because of everything that happened back then, the mall just doesn't allow cameras anymore. They just don't allow camcorders. I'm sorry, sir, you can't take pictures in here because of security concerns. I know you're not a terrorist. I know that you're not. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just doing my job. There's a sign over there that says no cameras, no camcorders. I'm very sorry. Sir, you'll have to take it to the vehicle, have to take it to the car, and then you can come back. If they give you a lip, if they give you a hard time, if they don't want to do it, they don't want to comply, don't pounce on them. Do not grab for the camera because you'll be charged with assault. Say, look, sir, I'm very sorry, but if you fail to leave, you'll be trespassing. And at that point, we'll have to notify the police, and it's going to become a lot bigger deal. Right now, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. You're just breaking policy. It's just a procedure. Please take the camera to the vehicle, take it to the car, come back in and do your shopping, and enjoy your evening. At that point, you're giving them the option. It's in their hands, in their ballpark. They can decide whether or not to comply. They can decide whether or not they're going to be a nice guy or a jerk. They're going to decide whether it's handled simply by going back to the car and leaving the camera, leaving the camcorder out there, or whether or not they want to escalate it to the next step and make it a criminal offense of trespassing and face being arrested. Leave it in their ballpark. I don't want to be the bad guy all the time, so I often let the person make the decision. Hey, this is what it is. It is what it is. This is the reason. I know it sounds stupid. I know it sounds unreasonable. No, we don't want to lose you as a customer. We don't want you to go shopping elsewhere. But I'm just doing my job. I really am. I'm just trying to uphold the policy of the mall. That's what they've hired me for. I'm asking you nicely. Please take the camera to the car. Please take the skateboard out of here, whatever it might be. Because I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see any problems. But if that doesn't work, if that doesn't hit home with them, if they just don't want to comply, if they just want to up the ante, they just want to escalate it now to a bigger deal, was no deal to begin with, but they want to make it a deal, they can definitely be arrested. Make sure the police are called when they get there. You can either have them escorted off the property or charged at that point with criminal trespassing. The law in every state that I know of, probably in all 50 states, says that you either have to notify a person via written signage of no trespassing, if it's totally no trespassing, or verbally that they're not allowed on the property. And they can be arrested at that point. They don't have to have another warning. It doesn't have to be 10 times, 5 times. After you notify them once, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed here. You're being trespassed. If they refuse to leave, if they fail to comply, at that point, they can be arrested for trespassing. If your department, if your agency wants you to take them in custody at that point, since they are going to be arrested for trespassing, then do it. If you are a special police officer, if you are in the state of Virginia, Maryland, D.C., South Carolina, Illinois, Missouri, and Connecticut, Massachusetts, and a number of other states where you have special law enforcement authority on the property to make arrests, then arrest them. If you tell them to leave and they don't, it's their fault. Throw the cuffs on them. Charge them with criminal trespassing. At that point, you're probably going to have a fight on your hands because they were already too stupid to leave. And now they're probably going to resist and add a whole bunch more charges on them. But if you are not commissioned, or if there's not a statute in your state that allows you to make arrest, and it's private person or civilian citizen's arrest only, you might want to wait until police arrive. If the person is creating a disturbance and your agency or department allows you to make citizen's arrest, then go for it. At that point, you've given them or him, her, a chance to leave, to comply with the law, to comply with the policy, and they haven't, they won't, then at that point, whatever happens is their own doing. So take them into custody if that's what you desire to do. Remember, we're talking about trespassing. We're talking about, you know, skateboarding where you're not supposed to. We're talking about taking pictures or video. We're not talking about murder, folks. We're not talking about robbery. We're not talking about serious offenses. We're talking about very, very small balls. Very, very, very small, minute. At the very most, if they are arrested, they're going to face a slap on their hand. They're going to get a little bit of a fine, and that's it. I will advise you that if you do arrest someone for trespassing, if you do have them escorted off the property, if it's to that point, if they've escalated it to that point, go ahead and make sure that a written trespass warning is also issued. But this is within your policy, within your procedure. So the person is not allowed back to the property for at least a year, because that justifies why documents why they're being escorted or why they're being arrested because of that violation. We're talking tonight about very minor crimes that can easily get escalated, can easily get out of hand, and can easily cause you to be the person, the bad guy, the person arrested or sued, your company sued, if it's not handled the right way, if it's not handled properly. Remember, if the person is in a public place, a park, a mall, amusement park, church, or other property that has legally been accessed, that, you know, is generally open to the public, he's not or she's not committing a crime by taking pictures. It may be a violation of the policy. It may be a violation of the regulation. It's not a violation of the law until they refuse to leave the property. And at that point, then you do have a crime. The crime is trespassing. Be very careful how you handle these situations. Be very careful how you get in the middle of these situations. You know, it's so easy for us to let the adrenaline flow, for us to let us get all hyped up when a person says no, or when a person refuses to comply. Hey, I'm security. Look at me. I said do it or else. Or else what? Get real. Be real. We're not talking about major offenses. Know the law. Know your scope of authority. Know what your employer, your client, wants you to do. Okay? Five things that you cannot do when a person is trespassed, when a person is skateboarding, when a person is taking pictures or video. You ready? One, you cannot attempt to take the camera. You cannot attempt to take the camcorder or the skateboard from the person. Two, you cannot grab the person and begin walking them to the door, begin walking them to the exit of the property. You cannot grab the person and force them to leave. You cannot tussle with the person. Number three, you cannot tussle with the person who will not give you access to their phone, their camera, or their camcorder. If you do, that is assault, that is theft, that is against the law, it's a crime. Much more serious than trespassing. So you will face the consequences. And your owner of the company, your client, will face the repercussions on the civil side of it. Just remember that. So you cannot grab for the camera. You cannot grab the person and just force them, push them, shove them, or lead them off the property. I know you've seen bouncers do it. I know you've seen some cops do it. I know you've seen some security people do it. But that is assault. You cannot lie to the person to make them comply. You can't tell them that they're taking pictures and that's against the law when it's not against the law. Well, they'll never know the difference. They could know the difference. They may call their attorney. They may call their brother, their father, their mother, their sister, who might be an attorney. And now you're going to have a lawsuit on your hands because you lied to them to make them comply. and you cannot restrain, number five, you cannot restrain anyone that's not being arrested. It all boils down to assault. It's very easy to make mistakes out there. Very easy for us trying to do the right thing, trying for us to do the job, to all of a sudden be the one being arrested or sued or in trouble or on YouTube or on the nightly news. Security guard at the shopping mall slapped a 10-year-old who had a skateboard. Police say the security guard, 38-year-old Tom Jones, was arrested for assaulting a, you know, that happens all the time. It's not because the security officer is violent. It's not because the security person is trying to be mean. It's not because they're aggressive. It's because they really were just trying to do the job, and they went overboard because they didn't know the difference between, you know, policy and a law and how to respond in different scenarios. There's a lot of things to understand in this business. But, you know, the one thing I want to leave you with tonight is to understand the scope of authority. Understand the statute and the difference between a policy and a law. Understand that you have to approach every situation differently. Every situation isn't guns a-blazing. Every situation isn't aggressive. Every situation isn't, I'm security, get me. You cannot handle every situation, incident, or problem that way, because that is exactly what's going to get you in trouble. You've got to let the tone of the situation dictate your response, your attitude, your verbal commands. Take in the situation. That's why we teach about taking in the scene. That's why we talk about scene size up. That's why we train on that. Take in the scene. Take in the what's going on. Think about it. Analyze it quickly and decide how to respond. Should it be the soft approach? Should it be the heavy approach? Should it be aggressive? Should it be gentle? Should it be quietly? Should it be loud? Every incident, every situation, every call you go on is going to be different, and you have to know how to handle it. Just remember, we're talking about very minor crimes, and in some cases, only a violation of company policy. Use good judgment. Train, train, train. If you don't know the law, look up the laws of your state. They have them on the internet, free. Print them off. Study them. You can also buy a very cheap pocket guide for about $5, which gives you most of the top laws in your state. So you'll know what is a law, what is an actual offense, and what isn't. But most importantly, I want you to understand how to respond to it and how not to be too aggressive when not necessary, how to be even keel, respond to things evenly, know when to be aggressive, know when to be calm, be gentle, explain things. You've heard the saying, little honey, a little sugar attracts the bees or whatever it is. You'll know, you'll see the difference in people by the way that you approach them. That's going to wrap up this week's segment of Private Officer Talk Radio, the POI Radio Network. We're glad that you joined us tonight. We're sorry we had a little technical glitch, a little technical difficulty. We're glad that you stayed with us and came back. Unfortunately, we did not have a winner. We had a couple of people who got partial answers right. Yeah, that shows me a lot of people don't have good training, don't have a good understanding of the law. I really wanted to give away that $50 gift certificate tonight, but it didn't happen. Maybe on the next segment, the next radio show, we'll have another quiz, another opportunity to win some POI money, some gift certificates. Remember, we do have gift certificates now on sale on the old website, www.privateofficer.com. We also have, this is a great opportunity, by the way, a great thing for you. If you are looking for training, if you want training modules or you want certification, just go to your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your mother, your child, and say, hey, you can give me a gift certificate for private officer, and I can use it for training, which is going to help me at work. It's also going to help me to enhance my experience, my education, and my ability to be promoted. Or maybe you want a private officer logo shirt, cap, mug, or other item. Now you can have someone give you a gift certificate, and you can purchase it. Isn't that pretty cool? The way that it works, once again, is you can buy it at face value. There's no fee charged to you. It'll be sent electronically, and you can purchase whatever, and it'll be deducted from your purchase. Well, again, that wraps up our show for this Sunday, August the 8th, 2010. Glad that you came back. Sorry for that glitch, that inconvenience. Join us Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time again, and every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. for the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you here on the radio.